Let's go into the Wallet's Agreement prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening morning that the truth of God's word is not with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction in this atmosphere. We declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, so it's been a while you went to Matthew's Gospel 28, right? So go to Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. I hope you all had a good time evangelizing last week, right? We went out for evangelism after church last week and we had a good time, and I trust you all did as well. Well, look at Matthew's Gospel 28. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the what? Holy Ghost. Now what did he say in verse 20? Let's read together after church. 1, 2, 3, go. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Well, are we together? Right? So Jesus gives an instruction and reassures the believers, or reassures the disciples, that he is with them forever. If you look at Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 13, we've read this over and over and over again, but it says when Jesus, Matthew 16, 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, thou art Christ, the Son of the what? That thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you've listened to me this week, right, you would have heard me say something about hell. Right? Is that true or is not true?
It's true.
It's true. Okay. That's how loads of Peter followed. Yeah. Like John the Crowd, I'm saying, we'll get in front. Yeah? Now, we said when the Bible talks about hell, why is it just that quiet? When the Bible talks about hell, now I told you in scriptures that the word hell most times does not have fire associated with it. Amen?
Amen.
You know, some of us, you know, we have that ideology of, you know, hellfire is a place where people go to and they burn. Are we together? Now, we saw something about the week. Jesus said something very important in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. He said, I have not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but I have come to what? Fulfill. Then he looked at the Pharisees and said unto them, he said, they were asking for a sign. And Jesus said, no sign else shall you get other than the sign of who? Jonah. How many of you know Jonah? There's a song we used to sing when I was growing up, yeah? I'm still growing up, yes, basically, yeah? When I was much younger, right? And you know, Jonah was swallowed by a fish. You understand? Yeah. Hey, only me went to Sunday school. sorry, and Jonah, yeah, they went to the school. You went to the mature one. Okay, went to the basic one. Then me, I went to the advanced. Yeah, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. We be sang so many songs where I went to. Jonah was swallowed by a fish and stayed in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Mr. Temu. And people are saying, Mr. Temu, you say, Mr. Yeah? Right. So we grew up learning that song, right? And Jesus said, the sign of Jonah will be a sign of what will happen to him. Mm-hmm. Now, over this week, I made you to think a little. Right? I told you that the Bible says that Jesus was going to stay in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. Mm-hmm. Right? And you say he was crucified on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Right? And he rose up when?
Sunday
on a Sunday morning. How many days are that? How many days are there between there? Mm-hmm. You have Friday night, Saturday night. Then you have Saturday afternoon. Let's assume you want to say it's Friday afternoon inclusive, but it's not 3 days, 3 nights. What was I trying to do with that? I'm going to teach extensively on that, but there's something called the motive of scriptures, where there's something called the third day and what the implication of third day means. It's just like, you know, 7 day. altogether. And some of us believe that in the real sense, 7 days in the Bible is teaching about day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and day seven. Right? But much more than that, he's teaching about an entire concept. Altogether. So Jesus would say Jonah was in the belly of a fish. Now, some of you grew up believing that Jonah was in the belly of a fish and he had TV. Okay, they didn't show you that one in your Sunday school. No. Jesus loves you, they taught you. Okay, Jesus is the center. That's okay. You went to a good school because they focused on Jesus. Right? But where I went to and the things I saw, you know, as a 2000 and about 3-4 thereabouts, before my dad started what you call Gospel Palace today, the former name at the time, we went to several churches around, you know, Abuja and went to just go see a lot of things. So I learned a lot of things by visiting different churches, and so it was not as though we had a children church in church, and I was, you know, a part of that. But I just learned all of those things from then. I picked it instantly. But basically, one of the things that we saw when we were growing up was that, you know how some of you still believe, don't lift your heads, but some of you still believe that it was the lion that cut the hair of Samson. She just said it's not. You believe. You say you still believe it. You are in faith. See, Bible scholar. Not there when he was sleeping. You know what we believe, that Delilah was the one that cut Samson's hair? You still believe it. You know what we still believe, that there were three wise men that visited Jesus? Oh, that one you know, that one you know. Yeah? So there were three wise men that visited Jesus. One came with gold, frankincense, and what? Man. Right? You know what the Bible teaches, that there were gifts by wise men. Altogether, but there's no mention in scripture that it was three wise men. There's no, you cannot teach from the Bible that Delilah cut the hair or something. You can't teach it. So over the week, I showed you something. You know how we grew up believing that the thief on the right hand, remember that now? Yeah. The thief on the right hand said, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. You know you can't teach it from the Bible. You can't teach from the Bible. The Bible says there were two thieves. And history shows that when they sacrifice, when they crucify men like that, they usually would crucify them in their numbers. But together, right? Some of us believe that, oh, you know, the right hand is the right hand of authority, so it's a thief on the right hand. No. Bible says one of them said, remember me in the kingdom. And the other one mocked. Now, why am I showing you these things? You see, they sound so basic. But in the real sense, they have lots of implications. Some of us believe that Joshua asked the sun to stand still. Amen? Yes, now. Joshua asked the sun to stand still. So, all these things are in the Bible. So, same thing with Jonah. I grew up reading the book, seeing Delilah sitting down and Samson's head on his lap with what? Skeezers. It can't be scissors because it was supernatural. It's skeezers. So, she was holding the skeezers. But not that from the Bible. And I grew up believing that Jonah was in a living room in the belly of the fish. Me, in my living room, there was TV. Right? And when I was sitting on the wall, there was a frame behind me, an artwork. You know, so we think that in the real sense, there are lots of things that we've taken. You know that thing called the yellow book? Is that yellow book that's a problem? You know the yellow book? Yeah, that yellow book that they used to do for children's church. And that's why for our children's church, one of the things I've paid attention to in the last 1 year is we're trying to build a curriculum as to how to teach our children. Because we cannot expose them to those ignorant things again. Are we together? Some people, they still believe that it was a snake that spoke to Adam and Eve. Right? There's a tree and the snake just called and say, what do you do? All right? And you say, get away from here. You know, so these are very important. So I went around to show you around Jonah's narrative. Now, when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, Jonah was dead. He was dead. You know, some of us believe that in the real sense, Jonah was in the belly of the fish, but in the belly of the fish, he was still alive and the fish just vomited him. No. Because if Jonah did not die in the belly of the fish, that would not be a perfect example to show that Jesus died. You can as well say that Jesus did not die. He was just in the tomb. And somebody was giving him food. Or was eating the intestine of the dead. Do you understand? But Jesus will say a sign, no other sign than the sign of Jonah, for 3 days and three nights. So we said that the whale's belly, Jesus will say that it is the heart of the earth. when Jonah will call it the belly of hell. Now, we said hell is the word Sheol. Remember that? You know, I struggled to pronounce it last week. What's the right pronunciation? Sheol. Sheol. You get the word S-H-E-O-L. And we said the Greek word for that is what? Hades. So, did Jesus go to hell? Yes. What is hell? Hell is used to teach about the land of the dead. So, there's a land of the dead, which you call Hades or hell. So Jesus went to the land of the dead and he fought a battle. Right now, don't think of, some of us believe that Jesus went to the land of the dead and went with sword and cutlass. Say, we have come. And we're together. Say, where are they? Where are they? Where? No. No. So Jesus will go to hell and he will win a battle in hell. So Jesus will now say to Peter before he went, he says, I will build my church and the gate of hell. So that's what hell there. Right? What is hell? Hades, that is what? Sheol, that is what? The land of the dead. So what Jesus was saying was, I will go to the land of the dead, and I will come back from the land of the dead, and the gate of Hades, the gate of hell, will not withstand it. So the gate there was talking about authority or access. So the gate of hell will not prevail. That's what we stand. And blessed be God, Jesus came alive. He came back. What is this? He says, I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail. Now look at what happens, what it says next. Look at verse 19. Acts 16 verse 19. It says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Are you here? Yeah, Acts 16, 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Are we together? Now, when you think about keys, where does the mind go to? A door. Are we together? And when you think about door, what comes to your mind? Access. So when you think about door and think about access, think about key. What comes to your mind? Opening the door, that is have access. Can you say that's authority? You know, if I give you the key to my house, I'm giving you authority to my house. Are we together? So Jesus now says, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Now don't think that Jesus has, you know, some of you have a bunch of keys, right? You just, all your keys, one holder. If that key gets missing, you are missing. Some of you, I saw somebody put his ATM card in together with his key holder. Are we together? Don't ask me how he did it. Because that was the same question on my mind. Right? So some of us think that the key that Jesus gave is the key. So now, over this week, I taught you something important. The resurrection of Jesus did not sort out prosperity. I hope you listen to me in that teaching. Are we together? Some of us grew up believing that, you know, God, for example, I explained Romans 8 yesterday. He who gave us all things, how much will he not give, how will he not freely give us all things? So a lot of believers, you know, have that mindset of everything is, you know, everything is ours in Christ, right? Some of us believe that God gives cars, God gives houses, God gives this, God gives that, God gives this, and it comes with the resurrection reality. But unfortunately, that's not what it is about. Yeah? Men were getting these things before the crucifixion. Are we together? Men got these things before the crucifixion. All together. And that's not to say that God does not meet the needs of people. You know, we did a series on how God meets the needs of people and he does it through what I make. And I've told you before, if all of a sudden you have a sudden money in your account, what do? You call your bank. You forgot it. That's what you forgot. If money enter your account all of a sudden, even if they wrote from the angels of hosts or the host of angels, you call your bank. Some of you, not that money enter, you quickly go out for ATM. Where's ATM? You go and withdraw everything. They empty the account so that when the bank wants to retrace it, you say there's nothing there. Yeah? So you don't call it miracle money. No, you say you call your bank. Then you tell them, this money, you know, people have lost their jobs because they sent money to the wrong account and it was withdrawn before they got it back. They've lost their jobs because of that. It could be an error in the banking system. It's like, so we just believe that, you know, the way, you know, some things are just mystical, you know, but we ended up saying that the resurrection of Jesus is for the forgiveness of sins. So when Jesus is like giving us the keys of the kingdom, now the kingdom there is not kingdom of this world. There's a teaching I used to do a couple years ago, yeah, and it's about, I didn't used to do it, but I knew about it, but I think I liked the idea at the time. There's a way they usually say seven pillars or seven thrones that God has sent us to dominate. Pillars of economic. Exactly. All those seven pillars. Pillar of economic, pillar of what? Media, you are there. You are there. Yeah, pillar of media. God has sent us to the world to take over the media space. Media is for Jesus. Yeah, God has sent us to, well, God has sent us to the earth. He has sent us to human beings. He has not sent us to political positions. That's why today, some people in some countries are still waiting for the God sent president. Are we together? And guess what? Small be like, well, let their lives lie. They will wait and wait and wait. See, Jesus resurrected from the dead, right? And they thought he was the one that would become the governor of the city. Look at it now. Look, see, if you look at Luke 24, Luke 24, it says that we thought he was he that would redeem. Why? At the time, they had an imposter in power. You know, imagine somebody, not UK, so imagine another community, another person from another community rules over that community. Not UK. It's individual now. Before you say, I say, you know, someone sent a flyer to our next teaching is believers' authority and believers' victory. And the person that did the flyer for us gave us one man with sword and this thing. I said, me. Just palace. Flyer. Sword. So they send me back home. Before they say we want to take over the city with knife and why are you saying believers' authority? I understand what you mean. I know that there is a shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. No, don't be angry. I said, put normal background at the back. What is it? Believer's voice of victory, a believer's authority. Won't take over there. No. And so I just took that. I told him that we don't do flyers like that. Really. Yeah, I'm very intentional about the flyers we post because our flyer says a lot. Even sometimes we are innocent, but it says a lot. You understand? So that's just what it is. So, in Bruce, what was I saying before that? Yeah, imposter came into power. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, an imposter was coming to power. Imposter was in power. So, they thought that Jesus was the one that would take over the position of politics from them. So, Jesus died. And they started saying, we thought he was the one that would replace the sitting president. Because the sitting president at the time was not from their, you know, their community. Was an imposter. Are we together? But guess what? The kingdom of God is not about the kingdom of men. The kingdom of God is about his forgiveness of sins. Or the forgiveness of sins is supplied to humanity. You must know the difference. Isaiah 9 will say for, you know, how did he say it again? Isaiah 9, 6. For the kingdom of God, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the kingdom shall be upon his what? Shoulder. You know, that's the word kingdom. Basilia. Yeah, in the Greek. So, a lot of people believe that there's a kingdom of the world that should be on the shoulder of Jesus. And they say his name shall be what? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So, they thought, that kingdom is the kingdom of this earth. No! Human kingdom is different from God's kingdom. God wants his kingdom to be established in the middle, in the midst of human kingdom. What I mean by human kingdom is human activities. We're together. So, God does not call people to be presidents. So I always tell you, how do you become a president of the country? There are two ways. Either you convince the people, or you convince the what? The ballot boxes. How many of you have convinced ballot boxes? How many of you have convinced ballot boxes as well? They've tipped you and they've used it to go and snatch ballot boxes. Are we together? Yeah, that's the only way you become a president, right? But to say no, God, see, that's why when it's time for election, should the church pray? Yes. What should the church not pray about? God, what is your will? Really? Do you understand that two Christians can contest for one position and the two of them are praying to the same God? Please, who should the God answer? If it were you, who should God answer? The one that prays faster. And both of them, there will not be two presidents in the country. It doesn't work that way. But so God doesn't, you know, some people say that God has sent to the economic world, the political world, because I'm going there to take over. I was together, take over, taking over territories. Amen. You know, so God has come to come to become the prime minister. And I'm the will of the Father. You see, politics is a game that you win by politicking. Amen. You win politics by politicking. I want to believe everybody here, I mean, has something they are doing every day and every time, but there's something they're doing. You know that no matter what you are doing, there's something called office politics. I hope you know.
Or you don't know. You don't know.
That's good. I will not spoil you. I won't spoil you, so let me leave it. Right? But in real sense, what I'm trying to say this thing particularly because a lot of us miss the point. We think that there's a kingdom that God has called you to do. So God has called you to take over the government, take over the media space. You know, when you see a Christian doing well in the media space, you say, no, that's God establishing his kingdom in the media. No. If you're in the media space and you're not preaching the gospel, you're not establishing anything. How will God establish? So what did God give you? He gave you the key to his kingdom. Now, listen to what he says. He says, I've given unto them the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever they bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I've told you before that this is not about casting out of demons. Altogether, right? And whatsoever that shall lose on earth, that shall be lose in heaven. So heaven and earth is a conversation speaking about the temple of God, like I've said before. And in this particular scripture, it's talking about the forgiveness of sin. Look at verse 21. From the time forth began, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go on to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised from the dead on the third day. Altogether. So you'll be raised again on the what? On the third day. But the same Jesus said 3 nights and 3 days. Altogether, we must be able to draw the straight line between the two narratives. He's saying one thing. Right? Look at 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. So what did Jesus do? Let's read verse 23 together. 1, 2, 3, go. God's palace. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. When Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou sufferest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Now, what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen? Now, we don't always believe or think that when the word Satan is used in the Bible, it has everything to do with the devil, always. Right? Now, I talked to you over the week as well that the word Satan is the word Satanas. Right? And what does Satanas mean? Opposition. So, Satan in Matthew's Gospel 16 is opposition. So, what was Peter doing in demonic captivity or opposing what Jesus was to do? Was opposing. So Jesus was not saying Peter was filled of the demons. No. You see, when Jesus resurrected, he said that Peter was to take responsibility of feeding the sheep and the lamb. He won't hand over the responsibility to a man who is demon possessed. So he says, get thee behind me, Satan. He's saying, get thee behind me, Satanas, which is opposition. Altogether. So the Peter was opposing. So imagine I'm supposed to go out of this room and one man stands at his door. Right? And he shields me from going out. What is he doing? He is opposing. What is his name? I know you should go and call everybody Satan that is blocking your road. Your neighbor block you at the entrance. I say this is Satan. Your neighbor blocking your road with his car. I say this is Satan. This is what I'm saying. No, I'm just saying Satan is Satan's opposition. Full stop. Altogether. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says that the people were dealing with sin. That was not even named among Gentiles, whereby a man is sleeping with his father's wife. The Bible says that we're puffed up around it. What did Paul say? He said, I have judged this matter. He said, deliver such a one to Satan. What is Satan then? Satan's opposition. That means who was going to be Satan in 1 Corinthians 5? The church, I've taught you before, right? The church is Satan. If you are just joining me now, please go back and listen to the teaching from the beginning. I said Satan in this context is Satanas in this context. I mean this particular context. Same as Matthew 16. So he says, deliver such a word to Satan. Who is to act as opposition to that brother that is what? Committing fornication. The church. So the church was to oppose that conduct. Yeah? So the church was Satanas in that scripture. So in Matthew 16, Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me. He's trying to say, don't oppose what I've come to do. Now, what did Jesus come to do? Now, what was Jesus saying that Peter was trying to oppose? Is your Bible now? Jesus was saying, well, I'll suffer with the chief priest and I'll be killed. Lord Peter, the Bible says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter. You know what it means? Imagine Peter calling his pastor. You shall not die for sin. Your part is life. There is no death therein. any spirit of fear out. I just be like this. I receive. Yeah. So that's what Peter was trying to do. He was trying to scold him. He was like, why are you talking about death? We'll have life and life in abundance. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You shall not die but live. To declare the goodness of God in the land of living. But while he was doing that, Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satanas. That means you are trying to oppose. See, Jesus Christ was given birth to die. So when Jesus was born, when you see his CV, when you see what is his purpose, to die. And not just die, and to resurrect. So if Jesus had come and did not die, the incarnation was useless. You get the point? It was useless. You see, the only reason why Jesus partook of humanity was because that's the only way God could die. And yeah, the only way God could die was by him taking off flesh and blood. So Jesus will be the incarnation. He will be 100% God, 100% man. And men will kill him. Guess what? The people that killed Jesus were the people he was dying for. Do you know that the people that nailed his hand on the cross, if after the resurrection, they believed, they are your brother. You know, some of us find it very difficult to actually see that the love of God is an encompassing love that covers multitude of people, and it's not just about us. That's why some of us know how to forgive ourselves but cannot forgive others. I usually say something this way. I say, we're in a generation where we have people sinning sinners, struggling with different kinds of sin, judging other sinners for sinning differently. All together. Yeah. You're judging others for sinning because you think you are the one that has found me. I'm the one. You have shown mercy. You have shown mercy. When I think of the good. Ah. But when somebody does something to you, for instance, it's not goodness of mercy, goodness of the Lord, put to one side. You know, I remember my mom used to share a story about a man who, when he goes, I don't know how the story goes, but he says, you go to the bus stop and the conductor tries to change it for you. Mind yourself. Conductor says, oh, you know conductors in Nigeria, no matter where I come from. Mind yourself. One day the guy just believed in Christ. Looked at him. He said, I will put my salvation aside. And I will deal with you. I will deal with you. Be careful. He said, forget about shoot and tie. I'll put my salvation aside. There are people that live like that. When they beat you, they don't go back and pick service or wear it. I go for midweek service. Are we together? You know, so it's easy for us to think about, oh, this is what God has done for us. He has redeemed me. He has sanctified me. But it's not only you, my dear. He has redeemed the people. So when Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, I will build my church. Now, we said the word the church is the word ecclesia. And it's about a people that are called out. Are we together? So we need to be careful of the things you say. Now that's why you see, for instance, why would you see the series of local church? To tell you the importance of local church. Let me tell you something. Anybody who stays in their house and they say they are listening to God in their house, they are serious. The Christian faith is designed to be in community with other people. A man who says he's saved and doesn't go to a local church or a garden is an unserious believer. Very unserious. There's no polished way to say it. He said, I stay in my room, I read the word of God myself, and the Holy Ghost speaks to me. You know, a lot of times when the Holy Ghost speaks to you, he speaks to you in your ignorance and with your ignorance. Yeah? He speaks to you with your ignorance and in your ignorance. So he says, I will build my church, that is my people, a people. That's why saints as well. We need to be careful that when we speak about ourselves as righteous, we see ourselves in the midst of other people. Some of us, our confessions are getting very ridiculous over the days, right? You know, I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, okay? I'm holy and accepted, okay? So people are starting saying they are God. I am God. You see, Jesus does not have a better standing with God than I do. Please come. That standing, who gave you? Who gave you the standing? And you are not equal. You are equals. You're not equals. Right? Because in the real sense, you feel like, you know, I always tell you, I had a friend a couple years ago who used to always tell me that the Holy Spirit calls her baby girl. And I tried to inquire, and I inquired. And I went further. And I stepped, and I stepped, and I stepped. And I further inquired, and I realized there was a boo that was missing. I was together. There was a boo that was missing. You know, sometimes when you don't have a boyfriend, you don't have a girlfriend, you want to just give yourself, what do you call it, coping mechanism. You want to just be like, there's no spirit in my, I'm in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Go and find out that relationship. I'm in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wakes me up and I said, baby girl, will you rise up? He said, Holy Spirit, I remember what was telling me, Holy Spirit, rise up from your bed, sunshine. Oh my goodness. Interestingly for her, I knew her boyfriend. I said, better be calling this your girl, sweet name, before she demarried her non-boyfriend. Something your boyfriend should be calling you every morning. You say, rise up, sunshine. What's your boyfriend telling you? Rise up, sunshine. Be careful. Some of us just get really nothing to do. They say, the Holy Spirit, you know, I have an intimate relationship with God. You know, so the way God talks to me, you know, God, when he talks to me, he doesn't talk to another person that way. It's a unique relationship. Let me tell you, the fundamental way God talks to us is by his word. There's the indwelling of the Spirit, there's the inward witness, but fundamentally by the word. So even the inward witness, we align it together with the word. So Jesus says to Peter, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And the church he's building is not God's palace. Amen? The church he's building is not God's place. The church he's building is not God's peaceful environment. No! International church, no! The church he is building is a people. So you cannot teach sufficiently the word of God without dealing with a people in mind. That is why you ought to be a member of a local church. You ought to be a member of a gathering. You cannot run your... The Christian faith is not designed to be run alone. No. Let me tell you something. One of the easiest... So when you look at it. If you are targeting a man and a sheep, if there's a sheep you are targeting, what is the first step to get that sheep? Make the sheep isolated. You understand? You understand? You know, if you have 10 lions, I want to pick one lion, no matter how brave the lion is, if you want to pick one lion, distract the lion. Let the many nine be going here. Let one be going here. You will capture the lion. But if the lion is found in the midst of the lions, you won't go there and say, I want to go and pick one. That's what the devil does. Right? He uses YouTube to distract. He says, no, I just worship God in my room. I send my outfit to the orphanage home. And I just pray every morning and pray every evening. And I study the word myself and God speaks to me directly from the throne of grace. You know, that's what we call throne of grace is our ignorance marked with spirituality. Are we together? Do you know that there's a tendency that if you go back to read Delilah's story, for instance, or the wise man's story. You know, if there's a tendency that if you have not paid attention to what I mentioned, you will still go there and see three wise men. That's how the mind works. You can superimpose your thought in what you are reading. Jesus said to Peter, I will build a people. I will build my church and the gates of heaven. So the building of the church, is it a finished work? Well, a better way to say it is a finished and an ongoing work. Because the gate of hell did not withstand it, and the gate of hell will not withstand it. You see, God is still in the project of building the church. So last week, for instance, what are the evangelism? What are we doing? We're working together with God in the building of his church. So one of the most important things for a man when he gets born again is what? The next important thing for him is what? He gets a local church where he's committed. Let me tell you something. That you are teaching sound doctrine in your church doesn't mean God loves you better than another church. So you can't afford to have that mindset of segregating with other believers. They don't believe eternal life is forever. I don't tell people who don't believe eternal life is forever. Were you born to know eternal life is forever? Imagine people don't relate with you. I don't believe in all this, I don't believe in all this. And there's a place to guard your heart. But you cannot not be able to relate to another believer who's not a member of your church. No, God is not building God's palace alone. God is building a people. Let me tell you something. God is so loving and lovely, such that the kind of people he's building, they are different species. Are we together? Do you know that there are people who go God is building in the church. And they might not have your slant on sexuality. Amen? Yeah, they might not have your slant on sexuality. That's true. I would see, let me say it clearly. A man, for instance, so see, a man who lies as a believer, is he less of a believer? Why is he less of, why is he not less of a believer? Because the Spirit of God that made him a believer, not his lie or not his non-lie. Okay. So a man that is practicing homosexuality, who is a believer? Is he a believer? Same with the full chest. You know, when that's a, you know that song, I'm already loved. If I let him pay you, you're sitting beside him. It's not you, sorry. before that sister said, I'm behind that brother, Pastor revealed it. Pastor revealed it out of your heart. It's not what I'm talking about. Though. As you're sitting, I'm already loved. You're looking at me. I'm already, that's enough. He too can say that's enough with you.
Yeah.
Because the love of God is a demonstration that does not have anything to do with your feelings, your mindset, your thoughts. That's not saying go and be gagging all the possession. That's what I said to girls' palace members. I don't say go and just say everybody. Yeah, but really, we are sent to preach the message. Over the week, I said something. I said, God has redeemed our spirits. We're in the process of redeeming our minds. And our body will be redeemed on the resurrection. So how is your mind being redeemed? Redeemed. Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world. What? Transformed by the renewing. You know, homosexuality did not start today. Mm-hmm. It's not new. When Paul was quoting them in 1 Corinthians 5, when a man sleeping with his father and his father's wife, we have in the Bible where a woman was sleeping with her own father. You forgot it a lot? That gave birth to Moab. Remember the story?
Yeah.
But it's God's expectation that what, when those people come, if they come, when they come, we allow God's word to permeate their hearts. But they would usually not find find a solid path to follow within the community of people. So God has designed that we are found in the community of people. It is God's wisdom. It's God's method. That there are a group of people you are looking forward to see every Wednesday, every Sunday. And we're together. I can't imagine my Christian life without having to see this lovely sin that Christ died for every week in, every week out. Once I finish teaching every Sunday, I'm always looking forward to next Sunday. Also for next Sunday. Why? Because this is God's wisdom. This is God's wisdom. This is God's method. This is God's wisdom. That we are people who are called together by the resurrection, and we have what? A uniformity, and we have something that relates us together. What relates you to me is the Spirit in you. What relates you to her is the Spirit in you that is in her. So we have an inheritance, the blood of Jesus. Over the week, I taught you as well. The blood of Jesus is not liquid. Where I grew up, we used to use the blood of Jesus for the main road. All together. Yeah? We cover the road in the blood of Jesus. We cover the driver in the blood of Jesus. I don't believe how. We cover the driver in the blood of Jesus. Right? I drink that. You can't say you don't know this one. You don't know this one? I need to take you all back to. Listen, I be. You have to know that one. Yeah? We bring the blood and we drink the blood. Some of us, what we have in our stomach can fry plantain for 2 years. The oil we've drank. If we fry plantain, fry red stew. We've drank oil, Goya. Why do you think Goya made money in Nigeria? Everything, Goya. Yeah, you pour the corner, you pour the corner, you drink a full gallon. When it's not cough syrup. And you know it's not healthy to be drinking oil like that. It's not healthy. And you are good, they say you have a high cholesterol. You are drinking Goya. It's not like you are drinking Goya. You're drinking only oil. Some of you don't even know how to just touch it and put it in. You drink a full cup. And you shake your stomach. You shake your stomach. Say, God is in me, God is in me, God is in me. Is it the oil that enter you that make God in you? We've drank oil. You know that song, out of my belly. Shall flow rivers. It's oil that when we sing that song, it's oil we say. We know what we drank. But thank God for His grace and mercy. Thank God God preserved us. Oil is not good to be drinking. Do you understand how, when you fry plantain, for instance, for those of you, you know plantain? Great word for dodo. When you fry, what do you do? Some of us, you put tissue. What are you doing? You're trying to absorb the oil. You're absorbing oil from plantain. You're drinking a gallon of oil. What are you doing? It is a, and I told you that the blood of Jesus is not a liquid. And that's the misunderstanding we have on scriptures, that the blood of Jesus is about the liquid. Yeah? But the blood of Jesus knows about his life. Bible says in Leviticus 17:11 that the blood of the flesh, are we together? The life of the flesh, rather, is in the blood. So you know that song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yeah, don't think that God put you inside bone. He was now doing like this. No. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that made me right. Oh, the blood I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Don't think liquid. Don't think basin. Are we together? Some of us believe that Jesus, the high priest, after he resurrected, he took his blood inside basin and took it to God. No, the blood that saves you is his life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's whoever believes in him shall not perish but have what everlasting life. That's the blood. The blood speaks about his life. Come together. So we are called into a family, a community. A community. Now let's quickly run through the book of Acts and see how they met. Look at Acts 2 verse 4. Let's quickly see how they met in the book of Acts. You know, in the coming days, we're trying to, we've been trying to establish a cell structure in church. Let me show you why we are doing that. So, let's take a step back. Is God building the people?
Yes.
How many people does God want to see saved? All man. All. So as a church, what do we see? We see plenty. Are we together? We see plenty. See, let me tell you something. For years, since I've been pastoring, very few days I've been pastoring, any time people come to our church and they say, our local church, and they say, you know, I just like this church because it's a small church. Ah, I don't correct them instantly because I feel like they're saying ignorantly and they might be innocent. We're not a small church. We're a growing church. We're not a small church. Because if you have that mindset, it means that the moment we start growing, we will change church. Do you understand? So I just like that small church. It's a small community. And you will just come together, you know, I know Sister Veeam, I know, you know, Sister Tanda, you know, I know Sister, I know, hey, we just know ourselves, we just speak and relate and just, Tandy, is it? I said Tanda, sorry. Yeah? You know, we just know ourselves, once we know ourselves, we see multitude. Bible says, it is God's rule that the earth is filled with knowledge of his glory. How? See, how did he relate it with two? As the waters covers the sea. Yes, we will not go through gimmicks to go and look for how to gather and raise and just gather. No, we won't do all of that. But we must see ourselves expanding. We see ourselves growing. Next month, I'm going to teach you seriously on believers' voice of, you know, believers' victory, our voice of victory, so to say, and believers' authority. How do we use our authority? How do we use our words? Are we together? Right? There's a song my mom usually posts on the stage. I say, I'm gonna win more than victorious. I may have his kingdom, feel his glory, I rejoice. Who does not about them, Mr. Sinatra? So we need to see ourselves the way God sees us. Some doesn't see us as small. No, let me tell you something. A church that meets in a garden where there's light is not a better church than a church that meets under the tree where mosquito is flogging them. You know, some of us now know how God is in the midst of people by that kind of cars people bring to the church. Like whatever there's in church is bringing a kind of car, Jaguar. All together. The way he goes around, everybody's bringing Mazda. You say, come on, Fita. Come on, Fita. Come on. For God says, and sees, and I see, and I speak, that you will progress. The way you now go to a place where everybody is walking and jumping bus. I say, this is, they don't know revelation of the Jesus Christ. You know what it is? Prosperity is sorted. I cannot be glad I'm poor. Don't go and walk. You know that phrase I told you about the week? Spell it in your notes. D-E-Y space P-L-A-Y. What is it? Aha! You that said it. I cannot be glad I'm poor. I am waking up every day. I go back to bed. wake up in the morning, you open your window, then go back to bed. Then go back under your blanket. Oh, and the righteousness of we're encouraging the Lord. Come together. Yeah, so but in the real sense, you must understand that there are things that need to be done, but there are words you ought to always put on your lips. I'm not teaching about what hope really is. Some of us think that hope is a thing that doesn't have other things to support. You understand what I'm trying to say? You know, when so for instance, hope usually in scripture, let me just take your head, we usually come with a corresponding action or activities or things that are already in place. Just that the hope of scripture says that if I want to build a house, the blocks are already on ground. You know, that is different from I want to build a house, no block. They're different. My point is about the hope that we have for the redemption of the body. Something has been done. Do you understand? You know, so it's very important to know that God sees men in their numerous numbers, and God doesn't prefer a church with AC. God doesn't prefer a church with sound speaker. Are we together? Right? God doesn't judge faithfulness in ministry by results of men. Did you get that? God judges faithfulness by faithfulness. You see, so we're beginning to build a cell structure in God's palace. Be faithful in yourself. As a leader, for instance, be faithful as a leader in yourself. As a member, be faithful as a member in yourself. Don't just be, you know, coming for church because, you know, pastor will ask you, why were you not in church? No. Faithfulness. Some people don't want to be faithful with one. They don't want to be faithful with two, but they want to see 1 million. Do you know that? Should I tell something? You see, when my dad passed, one of the things I'm grateful for today is that we started building gradually to where we are today. For those of you who don't know, for instance, when my dad passed, 99.9% of people in church left church. Right? So gospel started from the scratch. Right? And I'm excited about it gradually because my dad was in a phase where he was unlearning, and he was seeing it every Sunday in church that we are unlearning and we are learning the truth of God's word. Are we together? You see, one of the fortunate things I have in my life, Father, is the fact that I could speak the word to my parents and they listened to God's word regardless of their experiences over the years. It's a thing of blessedness. Are we together? Because when my dad gave birth to me, he had seen a lot of spiritual things in the world. From the Islamic background into the Christian background into, you know, the churches he started with and all of those things. But regardless of that, he looked at the word and actually said, well, this word is actually true. And he started dropping down the things he has held on over his years of life. You know, but when he passed, you know, just the next day, I had to just think about pastoring to today. I didn't have the opportunity to go to pastoring school, I'm able to theology school and all of those things. You know, but I'm so grateful for the fact that I've been able to grow and expand the things I can do over the years by relating with people. What I'm trying to say, imagine if I had to start pastoring 1,000 people overnight. Think about it. I was telling someone this earlier, yeah? I was saying, actually, it's a gathering of pastors. So there's a gathering of pastors in Edinburgh, you know, from within, you know, Scotland and England, you know, and they invite me a couple, not over time, several to speak to them and to have myself with them, you know. And one of the things I said to them recently was that a few years ago, if you asked what's one of the most complex positions to occupy or to leadership positions to occupy as a leader, I would say maybe one of is pastoring. But you know, pastoring is actually one of the, is actually not just one of the, it can be termed as the most. And I gave an example, I said, as a president of the country, if somebody does something bad to you, you have every right to instruct an army to wipe his record from the record of issue. Just by a command. For a pastor, not the same, because somebody will tell you, walk in law. And you know you can still walk in law, but they will still do the thing they wanted to do to you. So that's the complexity that comes with pastoring. You know, so you're going to have leaders now. It comes with leadership, and leadership under the system of a church. A sense of honor you should give your leader. We're going to get there. But today, let's look at how they really met in Acts 2. Look at Acts 2, 46, and look through the book of Acts. Acts 2, 46. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. And every man had need, as every man had need, rather. Acts 2, 46. Are you there? Ask for a selection together. 1, 2, 3, go. And they continue dealing with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from what? From what? So it's house to house, a structure of meeting in the church. All right, look at Acts 5:42. Are you in Acts 5:42? Look at verse 1. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Let's read verse 42. Galatians 3, go. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Are you together? 1, 2, 3, go. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach. So there's a temple meeting, there's the house meeting. Yeah, look at Acts 8, 3. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every what? House. And hating men and women, committed them to prison. So he entered into house where they were meeting. All together. Look at Acts 10, 2. Acts 10, 1. There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius and a centurion of the bank called the Italian bank. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God what? Always. Right? So, he was one who had a garden of people in his house, for instance, who were devoted to God. If you look at verse chapter 12, verse 12, it was read chapter 10 of Acts 10, you realize that there were people gathered together when Peter was preaching, and you know there was a meeting in their house that day. Look at Acts 12, verse 12. Look at verse 11. When Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the treasure of the people of Jude." Look at verse 12, 1, 2, 3, go. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, of the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many gathered together. So can I say prayer meeting in a what? In a house. They're together, right? Look at Acts 16, verse 32. Acts 16, 32. Acts 16, verse 32. So what it says there? It says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his what? In his house. You see that again? Look at Acts chapter 18, verse. Look at verse 40 of Acts 16 quickly. Look at verse 13. Verse 39, sorry. Acts 16, 39. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into where? The house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and what? Departed. If you look at chapter 18, verse 7. And when they opposed themselves, verse 6, and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, and clean from henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. Verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that what? Worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the what? Synagogue. Right? If you look at chapter 20, verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and I've taught you publicly, and from what? House to house. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. So, if you remember from 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Jethro instructed Moses to choose 70 men. Yeah. Remember that, Jethro? Yeah. Jethro instructed Moses to pick 70 men. What was that reason? What was the reason for that? So that 70 men could what? Distribute their energy to manage people in their hundreds of thousands. Jethro would say, let he who, let the difficult matters now be the one that gets to Moses. Are we together? Right? So, we're gradually building ahead. See, this cell structure thing, you know, in the meeting I went for in Nigeria a couple weeks ago, one of the instructions that was given to us that we need to pay attention to our cell meetings. Right? So, from when is the Lord start teaching you and take you up on how to treat your cell meetings, how to be a faithful member and is a faithful servant, how to treat your leaders. You know, I told them in Nigerian church, you know, I'm part of them on the teach here. Right? Yeah, there's really a thing called allowing your cell member know when you're not around, your cell leader rather. Because your cell leader, because God instructed, or Jethro will ask Moses, and God will instruct Moses really to lay his hands on the people, that his spirit upon him will be upon them as well, so they can administer leadership oversight. All together. So, what exactly is the goal of your cell? Now, don't get discouraged that your cell is to, and I was speaking to the cell leaders last weekend. You know, I was saying, Don't say we're just two with myself. No, we're not just two. We're not just one. No, just one, only one. Just only one person came. Ah, no. 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 In that one, you stay faithful. You see that one as who Christ has died for. You too, as a member, didn't say it's only me and my semi that is there. You just, you know, we just come, we just bounce up, we just eat beans and pap, and we just, you know, go home and eat spaghetti, you know, I just get home and we just say, see you around, all right, cheers, mate. I'll just go, no. You see, one of our goals as a church actually will be to grow ourselves, by extension, grow the church. And we're together. We grow ourselves. So all of those places are meetings where people, for instance, you want to invite to church who say they don't want to come to church because church has hurt them and all those things. Yeah, take them to the house of another and have that fellowship there. Are we together? Right? Why did I choose the people whose houses will be open to for now? Because I know that in those people's houses, they are able to receive. And you know, and as we're growing, some of your houses as well, we soon become cell meetings. When you already have the people from a region, rather than go to another region, just wait more house there. Fellowship together. Share the word, you know, the Bible tells you we're breaking bread from house to house. That means we're having communion. That means we're having fellowship. That means we're eating together. But much more than eating is what? The growth in the spiritual world, in the spiritual faith. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. Are you there? Look at verse 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Look at verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Look at verse 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Are you together? Yeah? Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 15. Colossians 4, 15. It was a practice. There will be the general meeting in Novotel, and there will be gatherings and meetings in different cells and meetings. For instance, during the last rekindle we had three different zones across Edinburgh where people met in people's houses to partake of the fellowship of the church. So you treat those meetings the way you treat your church meeting, right? If you look at Colossians chapter what?
Four
verse what? 15. Look at verse 15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is what?
In his house.
Again, do you realize that Paul calls it the church in his house? That means the meeting and gathering of saints in a house doesn't make it less of a church. Are we here? Doesn't make it less of a church. He didn't just say, you know, the get together or come. No, he says the church. He didn't just say the fellowship. He says the church. The church. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 5. You see it all listed across scriptures, Romans 16, 5. Look at verse 3, Romans 15, 3. Is it Romans 15? I said Romans 16. Sorry, 16. Romans 16, verse 3. Are you there? Romans 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Let's read verse 5 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruit of Asia unto Christ. Romans chapter what? 16, verse 5. Look at Philemon chapter 1, Philemon chapter 1. Philemon is after Timothy, after Titus. So if you get to Timothy, just keep going. You get Philemon. It's just one chapter, as you know. Philemon chapter 1, verse. Let's read from verse 1. Are we together? Philemon 1, 1, 2, 3, 1 and 2. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. 1, 2, 3, go verse 2. And to our beloved Appia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in the house. Are we together? It's God's wisdom. It's God's wisdom that we gather. So we don't just wait for Sunday meetings. We can have gatherings before Sunday meetings in smaller cells close to our regions. And we come together we come together as well and edify ourselves, instruct ourselves. It's God's wisdom. Let me close here. You see, you must always remember that God is building a people. Please know that. You must always remember that God is building a people. Another way you can say that is you must always remember that God is building a community. So we're together. Paul will say, I long to see you that I may impact you and perfect that. Yet, in fact, to the point that you are established. So there's a lot about physical gatherings. Treat these meetings with all your affection, all your heart. Don't miss the meetings. Go for the meetings. Be present there. Be present there. You know, one of the reasons why we've not started meeting midweek services, we still haven't wrapped our head as to how we're going to be meeting, you know, on Wednesday and Wednesday evenings and venue issues and all of those things. But, you know, in the next coming days, we'll start having to sell meetings. In fact, from this month, April, I wanted this daily teaching to be over. You know, we're going to start paying attention to cell meetings, cell meetings, cell meetings. We pray together as a community, right? Our vision as a church is to see men coming to the reality of God's love. That means we see men in their hundreds, in their thousands. Are we together, right? And we see men littered all around. See, it's God's will and God's wisdom and God's plan that we have men in different portions and different areas of the city of Edinburgh. Doing what? Giving their attention to the Lord, giving their heart to the Lord. Getting themselves led, you know, to be trained and taught in the things of the Spirit, the things of the Word, and the things of prayer. It's God's wisdom, and we'll see it happen in the city. We'll see it happen. You say amen, no? Amen. We'll see it happen in the city. Amen. Yeah, we won't. So you today, what do? You give your attention. You learn. As you are being taught, don't allow the labor we are laboring over you to be in vain. You know, you can allow the labor they are laboring over you to be in vain. Don't allow it to be in vain. Go back and listen to those teachings. Go back, listen, read your notes, write your notes. Some of you, the way you write notes is like as if you are signing check. That even you say, I cannot read your notes. No. I have a note. Yeah, don't be one who has several notes differently. Let me tell you something. There are days when I found myself in positions where I didn't know I was going to, for instance, I went to a gathering. Somebody had lost their father, yes, the man. And I got there, and guess what? Apparently, the family, I wasn't really frequent there, but the family, they knew me, they've heard me teach before and all those kind of, they didn't know me as one who teach, but they knew of me. And guess what? The mother of the house just says, Pastor, can you please edify us? You see, at that point, it's not a matter of anything. I just say, hey, God, what do I say? God, speak to me. No. Why don't I say, God, speak to me? Because when I was listening, I have taken notes. It didn't cost me anything. I just opened one of my notes. You see, it's not the easiest to teach when they are mourning the dead. You know, it's easy to teach when it's naming ceremony. Glory to God that He has done it for me. He will surely. It's easy to teach when it's wedding, when it's naming ceremony. But imagine you go to a burial ground and they say, bring the word. God's word should always be in your lips or your heart. Get your notes somewhere. Together, get your notes somewhere, write things down. If when I go for a special meeting, you know what I do for myself? When I listen to that meeting, I went for Carrie's Camp meeting last year, right? April, I just got back April. Within that period and now, I visit to all the teachers again. I visit them again. Again and again. You know, I told you, right? It's not a matter of bragging. If you want it as bragging, it's fine. But if you keep me like this, so just give me my microphone. And give me one person. I can teach every day of the week from now to the end of the year. And I'll not be saying, hey, I'm out of. No! Why? Because I give my attention. See, when we're two, when we're three, you know, I was telling someone recently, someone was asking how many are we now in church and everything. And me, I don't usually, we don't count. Only when I see your face, I say, okay, I know we're happy, I know people are listening to us. I told the person, I said, you know, if you go back to our teachings on our YouTube page, you won't trace the day I spoke to two people here. There were days I spray my perfume from the house. My perfume, I was smelling from the reception everywhere, bro. I carried everything. I came here, only my wife, my sister. What happened? Change the screen so that they will not reflect. Whether you reflect or not. If I ask you to go back to the teaching to go and find out the teacher, then you won't find it. Because the passion in teaching, too, look at you, almost 20 here. And the same passion is what I'm using to teach. That's the faithfulness. Let me tell you something. One of the ways you get better is go get a disciple. Don't come and be listening to me alone every Sunday, every weekend, every... No! Get a disciple! Get someone you are teaching. Get someone you are training. Get someone you are following up with. Get somebody who will ask you questions. If you know the answer, what do? You look for the answer. Let that be your hand, because God sees the entire earth saved. How will he do it? I always tell you, I was talking to one of you over the weekend, over the week. You know, a person was telling me how she preaches the word in her workplace. You know, I said to myself, I've always said it. There are people you will reach out to I can never speak to. Why are you in the local church? You are trained, so you take the message out there. There's some of your colleagues that I will never meet in my life. Do you understand? Yeah. So it's not just you just make a living journey and that my pastor message. Like, oh, I know. It's not just a pastor's message. You'll be able to teach what your pastor is teaching. Communicate the word. Learn it. Let me tell you something. You only get better by practice. So as you're listening to me right now, be thinking of those people who have been around you, who you could disciple. And just be seen as mere friends. No. There are people who are saved around you. Speak to them. You see, God is looking for the slightest opportunity that a man will use to preach the gospel to get a man saved. Let me tell you something. Do you know that? See, when I go out for evangelism a lot of times, I pay attention to just making sure that I see that Christ died and he resurrected. Do you believe? You know he saved you. He might never come to church in his life, but we've added him to the number. Altogether. But you have those who, when they believe, you sit up, you follow up with them. Oh, this is the reason for the local church. This is what God has done for you. This is what you need to do. This is how you know, give yourself to prayer and the word, and you keep growing. The more you keep teaching, the more you get better at it. Even if it's nonsense you are teaching. Altogether, hopefully it's not nonsense what we are teaching.
Yes.
Hopefully. But no matter what it is, yeah? So some of us are very naughty. You've never gone out in your life to preach. You are condemning somebody that is preaching. You say he doesn't have the right doctrine. You with your left doctrine, what? He said, even Paul said it. For they have a zeal after the law, but not after knowledge. And you've never witnessed someone that say, brother, sister, I want to tell you about the love of God. That God truly loves you and he died for you. But you only to go and looking for her. They don't know how to preach. They don't know finish works. They know that when your sins are forgiven, what do you do with the knowledge of your sins are forgiven forever? Is to bring more people into that reality and to that knowledge. So today you make up your mind, you decide that God is building a people and he will do it through you. Remember that teaching? You are both the building brick and the what? Brick layer. Say I'm a brick layer in Christ. Say I'm a brick layer in Christ. You are a brick layer. You are a brick layer. You are both a doctor, a brick layer, everything you are in Christ. Once you are a pillar, you are a block in the building of God, you are one who God has put a message in your lips. Take out time. You are going, don't be one who is going to office every day on Christmas. You never for once speak to one person. I always tell you, see, preaching to one person is not difficult though. Just have one thing you want to say. And you can say it to anybody you meet. See, the people who I preach to, if they meet themselves and they just talk about the things that brother said, it's the same thing. You know what? Right? More often than not, they don't even talk. You don't even know who they met. Don't be ashamed of repeating the same thing. Yeah? Don't try to, you know, be disco, that, you know, what. No, you can say the same thing. Don't be the one who is going on the train every morning. You cannot preach as well as say. I just want to tell you that God loves you and he cares about you. See, you see, you must start from there. You don't know where that message will get to. I spoke to somebody one day. I said, I just look at her. They were a couple. I just looked at her. I just looked at brother and said, she. I'll tell you that God loves you and is intentional about you and he cares for you and he died for you. The lady just like crying on the floor. They started crying. Someone on prison street just started crying in the cold. You know, they started following up, started talking. Like, you know, people just need that message of warmth or comfort. Give your attention to it. Don't be a stingy person with the message in your pocket. Give it out. You have friends. Some of you, you're on the social media page, you never post Jesus. Everything. There's one in Iran. Everything. There's one in Pakistan. Everything. Only you. There's some people there in my WhatsApp says, I want to know what's happening in Israel. I will go. I'll just search for them. I'll come out. Only you. You know the one in Chad. You know the one in Israel. You know the one in Iran. Only you. CNN. Only you. In fact, there's even one. She started doing reporting. She started doing. She will stand in front of green background. I'm just going to her name. I can tell you her name. She's on my phone. I just put back to that thing. Going by the recent happenings in the Do you understand? You said that you are laughing. It's only Genesis you know how to post. So what's that? It's only Genesis now to know. It's second friends of your friends. That will say, well, they're to you. And say, yeah, what page? When it's last, you see, you say, song right now. It's on your page, they will see it. Post Jesus, no. Gospel, we will be laboring in God's palace. We will be laboring to do content in God's palace. Your sister will give you, you just jump and pass. Just jump and pass. You go to light, like, you will laugh. Right now, just come and laugh. You don't know how to laugh. Because you think being not laughing is being serious. Your church will labor and do flyer. You will not invite anybody. Your church will labor and do content. You will not even click stop. I'm not saying by looking for like. You will not even like. You just scroll. And some of you scroll with your full chest. Some of you when these people comment, you have asterisked them and feel right. Top up. They always push everything down. Top up. Content. Yeah. What Pastor Nigerian Church of Revelation said, we should be sharing the content we post on our WhatsApp group chat. And together, but I noticed some of you. When they post it, they say, thank you, sir. We'll leave the group chat. Thank you, sir. You leave the group chat. Some of you, some of you will be posting when I'm teaching. When I visit, you say, thank you, sir. Exclamation mark. Thank you, Pastor. And you'll be posting when I'm teaching. You know? Like when I go back to my brother, I was laboring and sweating in my innocent room by AC. My room, I was sweating in my room that I didn't see. And this person was posting 15 minutes into the teaching, 25 minutes into the teaching. I said, Pastor, thank you, Pastor. Establish up. Some of you just look up in the place. Just... God will fight for me. God will vindicate me. Some of you just copy somebody's thank you. You don't have that thank you. Just copy the thank you. And press enter. Give your attention. See, you don't know the day when these things will matter to you and for you. You don't know the day. See, nobody practices, expecting that they know when the day of tribulation will come. No, you don't always know. But get ready. If your strength fails you in the day of adversity, what did the Bible say? You don't even know that in the Bible. Somebody got their point. Thank you, sir. Yeah, he says if your strength fails in the day of adversity, means you didn't have strength. And you didn't have strength now. Altogether, life will not always tell you, I'm coming on the second week of June. Get ready. No! So what do you do? Every opportunity you have, get ready with the word. Get ready with the word. Put God's word on your heart, on your lips. Give your attention to it. That we are meeting online doesn't mean you should just be, gallivanting and just, no! Treat our midweek services as important as Sunday services. Amen? Let that attitude be in you. Don't just go and be replying to things. I finished teaching 2 days ago. We're only 17 views. And both Nigerian and UK church, over 20-something thank you, sir. Where did you watch it? Only 11 people were showing view on YouTube. 11. Bene? You know what, Bene? It's a great word. When I saw the thank you, it shocked me. I was like, hey, God's palace! Thank you, Pastor. And throughout I was teaching, you were eating spaghetti. You were cooking, you were selecting beans, you were making akara. You were warming suya. You were doing the most. Be serious. Christians of God, be serious. Be serious. Now that day shocked me, I think it was Thursday. Thursday, I was sweating, I was jumping the life of God in Christ. Oh yeah. Only 11 people. When I counted the number of like, there's a difference. You say people are married, maybe they were together. You were not together with anybody. You did not follow. Who are you deceiving? It's yourself. When tribulation comes in the future, it will come. It will come. Me, I will face my own. You will face your own. What do you have to face your own? Look at someone talking about it in Zealand today.